Welcome back to Don't Cut a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we're going a little bit further. We're about halfway through A Feast for Crows. I do have a more traditional style warm-up today, but I do want to acknowledge that Dan officially has his puppy.
Little pup.
Which I have seen through the screen and is very adorable. So
she's very cute. We're calling her Lady, I think. So
as discussed previously.
As we decided last time.
But congrats on that. We're very excited for a new pup to join the pod fam. Now let's do a little bit of a warm up. I'm trying to think of how to intro this. This is going to be a rant.
Okay.
And let me first say that I think one of the biggest like cultural things of like different I don't know not necessarily different like yeah different cultures I guess is food, right?
Okay, sure. Yeah, definitely.
So like if you're going to
I see where you're going with this, and I love it. Keep going.
If you're going to travel to another country, you're going to probably eat food, mm-hmm. a lot of food there, mm-hmm. and you're going to be like, this is phenomenal, right?
Yeah ideally
that's what when I travel, one of the big
reasons
why
you're going.
I do so honestly is food.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like loving it.
Delicious.
Right?
Yeah.
If I go to a restaurant in a different place and they're like, how is it? I'm like, this is the best thing I've ever had. Every time, no
course,
matter what.
Of course.
Because it usually is very good for one thing, but also just like, this is important to people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Luke's like, ooh, Ohio with their Crunchwrap Supreme? Delicious. Compliments to the chef, garçon.
and okay, now here's where I'm actually going with this.
Yeah.
People might not know this. I consider myself quite patriotic.
Sure.
In a way that's not normally associated with patriotism, right? Not in the like flags and stuff. But
yeah,
anyway.
Different kind of podcast. If you're looking for that, you're looking for a different kind of podcast.
So it still bothers me when people come to the U.S. and talk trash about our food.
Who? Okay. Oh, I think there's a very specific critique that is levied at our food, right?
This is, you might be thinking of a different one, but one that happened to me recently,
yeah.
is critique over portion size.
What?
People will come and be like, oh, you guys' portion size is way too big.
What?
I need to like split it with someone. And it's like, shut up.
What?
Okay. It's awesome.
Okay. This is
give
absurd.
Me more.
This
give
is
me more.
This is ridiculous. This is the dumbest take I've ever heard. Okay. This is so stupid. You're saying like, oh, I get too much of a value for my money here. Because they didn't say. Because here's the key, Luke. They didn't say it was too expensive. They said they gave you too much.
Right.
Sorry. What? They gave you too much for what you paid for? Sorry.
Right.
Oh, sorry. You've
right.
never heard
I mean,
of leftovers?
Okay.
Oh, sorry. You've never heard of shit? Like, sorry. You didn't want a... What are you trying to say with this? I don't understand. What's the deal?
Yes. Yes. And so, I mean, for one thing, there's like a good bit of like fat phobia in there.
Of course.
But also just like, come on, man. Like, if I give someone my... if I cook for someone and they're like, this is too much and like criticize... how much food I have given them. It's like, screw you, man. This is my food. I don't know.
I also think it's just not a real criticism. Like, it's just like a, it's lazy. It feels so lazy to me. You're literally like putting it on a scale and you're like, yeah, the number is too big though for how much you gave me. It's not like anything about, oh, it's too spicy or like, I don't really like the use of cumin or whatever. It's just like big, too big. Oh, wow. Way to go.
That's right. And then, well, okay, actually, before I go further, what was the critique that you were thinking
of? The critique I was thinking of is that people often say that we don't have our own food. It's all just like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is so dumb. I think I agree with you 100% on this take that like the cuisine in the US is some of the best in the world because of its diversity, because there's so many options and like a wide variety of things you can get. That right. is it. Like, I don't think people.
That's the
like,
point.
That is
That's
it.
The point. The US culture is diversity, basically. And so, like, yeah. I mean, there are like American foods. For example, actually, to add on.
Yeah.
Actually,
go.
Okay.
Go off, King.
Southern food, top tier cuisine, honestly.
Top tier.
If you insult Southern cuisine to me, I'm fighting you.
It feels like there's two people that insult Southern cuisine, and they're both kind of annoying. They're people who don't like trying new things, and they're vegans. Now, as a vegetarian living in the South, it is annoying. Okay, it is annoying that it's all meat based. That said, does it?
It's not all meat based.
It's mostly
though, right?
meat based.
Okay,
a lot of ribs, Luke. I'll say that.
Get some cornbread. Yeah,
love that for me. Made with lard, probably. It's that's neither here nor there. I'm not trying to be one of those annoying vegans. The point I'm trying to make, though, it's delicious. My mouth's watering every time.
So good. So good.
And yeah,
anyway.
Like, all food comes from somewhere else, you fucking idiot. Am I wrong?
I mean, 99% of the time, you're right. Let's caveat it there.
Fine.
But yeah, like
fucking tomatoes come from the Americas. Okay, so if you want to talk about your delicious Italian cooking and you're talking about tomatoes, you can piss off. Okay.
That's right. Large point is American food is great.
It slaps.
I love.
It's so good.
It slaps, as we say.
As the kids say.
As we commonly say.
Mm-hmm. I'm with
there
you.
Don't if you meet me in person, do not talk trash about the food that I eat. That's all.
This is good. I think just general life advice.
Exactly. It's general advice that I think sometimes is weirdly not respected.
That people like to criticize your culture's food. Yeah.
Or just someone's food in general. Like, never criticize someone's food. Just like, never do it.
Fair enough. Unless you're looking to end that relationship quickly.
That's true.
Unless you don't want to get invited back to dinner.
It's a great opportunity. If you want to make good friends, give some compliments.
Yeah.
Ask for more.
There's always something
you can... This portion size is actually too small for me.
It's too delicious. Give me more.
Okay. We can leave it there.
Can we use this actually to transition into book?
Yeah, if you've got a good one.
Okay.
Sure.
We finished just before a Cersei chapter. So like we stopped at a Cersei chapter. It's about halfway through. The foods in this sound so good all the time. We've talked about this already. But I love that when Sam is getting ready to go on his big journey on the ocean, Sam is just like, oh man, all I had for breakfast was eggs, bacon, and bread. And I'm like, Sam, you just had a bacon, egg, and cheese, and you're like complaining about that?
Yeah, I know.
Sam, yes, please. That's the meal. That's like a good breakfast, Sam.
It's a pretty solid one for sure.
That's a weekend breakfast. I've got some time. Let me make a little bacon, egg, and cheese.
That's
now,
right.
Obviously,
it's definitely not a weekday.
I'm not
breakfast.
Putting the bacon in, but like, give me an egg and cheese on a bagel or something.
I also want to highlight that he called it fried bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm going to go start calling toast now.
Oh, I was thinking it's basically like French toast or pancakes. This guy went to Denny's. He had a grand slam before his big journey.
I think it's toast.
Fried, but fried is, I feel like toast would be like roasted or something, you know?
Because like French toast has like milk and sugar and cinnamon.
Yeah. You're right. So I get, okay. I guess this is kind of like toast, but it's different though. Like they don't have toasters. Have you ever made like fried toast in a pan? Have you ever done that before? Because it's a different thing.
Yeah, it's basically, it's what toast is.
It's
basically. Because toast, using a traditional toaster, is trying to mimic fried bread. Because you toast it and then you put butter on it.
But it's totally different when you do it that way. It's completely
It's slightly worse.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page that these are not equivalent. Like, we cannot substitute toast made in a toaster for fried bread because fried bread is a superior breakfast option.
Here's my analysis. Okay. Toast is an imitation fried bread.
Mm. You know, I'll have to do the research on this, but my gut tells me that that's right. I like your hypothesis that we're starting with.
Okay. Very good.
Anyway, stop complaining, Sam. This sounds like a great breakfast. This is a breakfast of champions.
Sounds so good.
You were at the Waffle House before you started your quest.
I know. Speaking of which, I went to the Waffle House yesterday for the first time in years. It was great. Mm. Anyway.
Little plug for Waffle House there. Unprovoked.
Little plug. I got a hat.
Did you get a job there? What does that mean?
No, they were just giving out hats.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually want to say, okay, I do have one note on the Sam section,
mm-hmm.
which, how afraid are we to go sailing with Sam, like on this trip?
Oh,
I'm going to say I'm going to say extremely terrified.
Yeah, this is like, Sam should be like, way more scared.
I know that Sam has the reputation of being cowardly, and everyone kind of rags on him a little bit for that. They're like, they're good ships, Sam. Come on. No. This is awful.
I know. And, like, ships go down all the time, right?
I think so.
They have...
I mean, it seems like it.
They have, like, one ship, I think?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a fleet. If their ship goes down... Oh, sorry. You're all gone. Nobody's coming to rescue you. You better hope you, like... I don't know, find an island, like float to an island or something.
Right.
Like, in a later chapter when Victarion is going to the Kingsmoot, he talks about how they only lost one ship. And they don't even give any details to the storm that they went through. It's like, oh yeah, we only lost one ship. It was a pretty good time. We get no more details than that. And it's like, you lost a ship? These are like the sea people. And he's like, right. Oh yeah, we lost one.
These are the pros.
We lost one. The storm was kind of bad, but whatever.
Yeah, this is one of the few times where I think I would be more afraid than Sam.
I agree. And I think it feels like Sam needs a bit more credit, right? It feels like everybody jokingly calls him Sam the Slayer. Like, do you get the sense that people are still using it as sort of a joke?
I think some people definitely are. Like, I think it's a mixed bag because John, for example, I think is trying to be like, you're braver than you think.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of other people are the opposite.
I guess you're right. Yeah. I just think like no one should be. I think it's absurd. I don't know if we've talked about this before because it's been a while since we talked about Sam. No one disagrees with what he did, right? Everybody's like, everybody calls him the Slayer because they're like, oh yeah, you killed one of the White Walkers, which we all witnessed during our big fight on the Fist.
Right.
So no one disputes the actions that Sam took. No one disputes that he killed one of these White Walkers. How are you still joking about this? How are you still like, oh, what a big scaredy cat? No! What? you remember that, right? You remember the Fist and everybody coming in and kill you and everyone running and screaming and like the White Walkers being real and literally Sam is the only one of everyone who killed one of them? Like,
right.
Come on, guys. Be real for a second.
Yeah.
Sam's a hero. Sam is like actually a legend. Sam is like actually like stories would be told about Sam.
This is true. This is what I think John needs to, instead of sending Sam away. I mean, it doesn't have to be instead of, but John sends a singer with him.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm hoping that in addition to him, I think his name is like Darian or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he really gets sent to be a recruiter, right?
Right.
I'm hoping that like actually his job is to make up a song about Sam and like sing it everywhere.
Yes, this is what I'm hoping too, because the story of Sam the Slayer needs to go beyond the wall. Like the story, they need to tell fucking everybody about Sam the Slayer, because
it's a great story.
It's amazing.
It starts with a underdog,
unlikely hero.
Unlikely hero, and he kills a white.
Mm-hmm.
Or a white walker, actually.
Yeah, even better.
Oh, great song. Let's get it going.
The song.
Get Taylor on the lyrics.
The song literally writes itself. Like, it's so easy to write this song.
I know.
You know what? We'll see when they get to their destination. If the singer's like, hey, Sam, I got something to show you. Hang on. Here we go.
Check it out.
Although, isn't this the guy that Sam is like, yeah, I don't really like his songs that he makes up.
I can't remember.
We've heard of a lot of...
his voice is really good, but his songs aren't.
Yeah, I think that's what Sam says. Which maybe Sam said that to the wrong person, and this guy's like, fuck you, I'm not going to write you a song.
I know. Well, I'm hoping what happens, actually, is that a while from now, Sam hears it being sung by... a song being sung by a random person in, like, a pub, and it's a song about Sam the Slayer.
That would be really cool. That would be rad.
That's the goal.
I think he deserves it, honestly.
I agree.
Okay. Can we go to something that happened sort of early in our reading?
Sure, yeah.
So one of our white cloaks, one of our Kingsguard, is having a little affair, having a little fling with the Princess of Dorne, and he's all tore up about it, you know?
Right.
I think we need to normalize quitting. I think it's okay if you're like, hey, this doesn't really suit me anymore. I know that I signed a contract, but like, I can't in good faith fulfill the obligations of that contract, so we need to, you know, part ways.
Right.
Like, why do the Kingsguard have to serve for life? Is this like, this seems like a bad thing, because you end up with these old crusty people who have no accountability to anyone,
right,
that are saying whatever they want, doing whatever they want, taking whoever's money, and you can't sorry I'm thinking about something else. You end up with people who just age to the point where they aren't able to protect the king, but you're like, oh no, you're still a Kingsguard. You signed up for life, buddy.
Come on, buddy.
Come on, pick up that sword. Yeah. Pick it up. Let him quit. Let him be like, yeah, I'm done. I don't really want to do this anymore.
Do you think they should be... Okay. For one thing, I 100% agree that they should be allowed to retire. Do you think there should be term limits as well?
I mean...
I think so.
Yeah, probably. Because you want new blood in there, right?
I mean, okay. I think that like you probably do want one or two of the like to have a ton of experience, right?
Yeah.
Like the like Lord Commander, which is what Jaime is right now.
Yes.
They can serve until, you know, they're pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it's good to have someone in organization
that knows
the history and all that.
Got the institutional knowledge, yeah.
Got some experience. But let's, I don't know. Let's get some churn going.
I think what you have is you need to set up an institutional apprenticeship program where you've got the apprentice Kingsguard always being trained, right? They're coming up. They're being trained by the current Kingsguard. And... when the current Kingsguard determines one of them worthy, they get to come up and take on the White Cloak.
They sub them out.
They're like, all right, you have surpassed me now, and so you get to be me. And then you get to pick an apprentice.
I think this is right.
And so maybe you don't even have like a quitting situation. Maybe Aris... How are you pronouncing this guy's name, by the way? Aris?
Aris sounds good.
Aris? Okay, Aris. Maybe Aris can't just quit. Maybe he can't just turn in his 2 weeks' notice because they're like, look, we need more time to fill your position. But maybe Aris could say, like, I want my name at the top of the list for, like, subbed out when the next apprentice comes up.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. when the next novice Kingsguard.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I also think that we're pretty loosey-goosey with the duties of a Kingsguard.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
What, like, my guy is just in Dorne forever now?
Yeah, dude.
He's like, okay, I signed up for Kingsguard, and they're like, or no, he signs up for Kingsguard, which means that he can't marry or, like, have, I don't know. I don't remember all of the restrictions, but there's a lot, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, cool. Go to Dorne with the princess and just stay there.
Just chill. Just make sure the princess is cool. Like,
here's what it is. We need a union, right? Because it's like, hey, that wasn't in my initial job description. So no.
Someone else. I don't know. We talk about union. You know, I'm all for unions. We've talked about them a lot on this show. I don't know if a union is really going to solve our problem here.
No, probably not.
Because, like, the king's just like, okay, well, then you're out, and I'm getting a new one.
Yeah, but when that's a win.
No, but they still want a job, right? Like, he wants the, you know, you're not getting a severance. Luke, what are you talking about? You're getting beheaded. The other six are going to come kill you.
I know. There's no winning, honestly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's weird that they have so few. Because essentially, this is Secret Service. They're treating it like Secret Service, where yeah. they're like, you're a relative of the king, so you need a Kingsguard.
Yeah.
You got to have a small family, huh? You can't have too many people running around. You run out of Kingsguard.
That's right, man.
Hmm. Do you feel bad for Ares, for Aris, in this section?
I mean, maybe a little bit.
I don't think I do. I kind of just think he's being dumb. Like, he's thinking with his, you know, his downstairs.
Right.
And, like, literally your whole job, the reason why you're not allowed to be, like, married or anything is because they need you to think with your upstairs, bud. They need you to use your upstairs brain. And, like, he's just not. He's just like, oh, yeah, but I like the downstairs one now. I found somebody that really excites my downstairs brain.
Right.
And, like, look what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's really dumb. Like, at the very end.
Yeah.
Of this section when he does his little charge and just like gets murdered.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, come on, buddy. Like, what are you doing?
I think that was actually,
I don't really get it.
So I think that was the only part where I do feel a little bad for him. Because if I'm putting myself in his position, he has been like fretting over his honor being like essentially tainted this whole time. And he has been like really committed to his reputation and like really worried about his reputation, which is why he is like worried every time he goes and sleeps with the Princess of Dorne. In this moment, everybody's going to know what he did, right? Like in this moment, if everybody surrenders, they take them all back and the report goes out. They're like, hey, your Kingsguard did some stuff. And like everybody's going to hear about it, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to use an analogy here that's kind of grim. This feels like he did like suicide by cop.
Sure.
Like
I don't think that it okay, but no matter what was going to happen, everyone was going to know.
Yeah.
Like even if they didn't get caught.
No. Well, but if they didn't get caught, he is still Kingsguard, just like Marcella, whatever her name is the queen, right? He's like still doing his job.
Yes.
But now she's not gonna be queen, right?
I mean I guess so. Like
failure.
You went on a mission and like this was one of the two outcomes. I don't know.
I agree with you, but I just think that I don't think he legitimately thought he could win this fight. I think he was...
I don't either.
I think he was deciding, I just need to go out now. This is where I die. Because yeah, I can't live true. With the consequences of a failure of this mission. And that's where it feels a little bit bad for me. Where I'm like, oh, bud, you really got in way over your head. Especially considering how the Princess of Dorne talks about him preceding this. Where she's like, oh, he's dumb, but I kind of like him. He's all right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this other guy I might marry. And like she's clearly a schemer. He's like one of the kind of pawns in her game. And the stakes for him are just like so high in this.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't think I feel that bad for him, though.
No, I don't feel that bad. But I do feel a little bad.
I don't necessarily like dislike him or anything, to be clear. I just like... I don't know.
I think he's just annoying.
No one really cares.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, no one's going to know, no one's going to be like, you're not famous, first of all.
You're so right, dude. I hadn't even
No
really
one's going to be like,
that.
Did you hear that Sir Aerys has been hooking up with Princess Ariane?
Literally no
if
one.
If they are, it's going to be like, because she is famous, and they're talking about her.
Right? This is a Beyonce's husband situation.
Yeah.
Except not even that, because it's, yeah, yeah. Wow.
I don't know.
I think you're right. I think he, you know what? I've kind of turned on him now that you mentioned this. Like, he talks about all these stories of Kingsguard and, like, their dishonoring of the cloak. We've heard of, like, two other Kingsguard that did bad things before him listing a bunch of them.
Right.
So, like, nobody knows. Literally nobody.
Nobody cares. You're just a generic Kingsguard, my guy. There's a lot of them.
You could probably disappear and they would be like, huh, that's funny. I thought we were supposed to have seven. Well, let's get another one in here.
I know. Most of the Kingsguard, as we learn from Loras talking to Jaime in this section, or like, don't even really care about their previous Kingsguards.
Right.
Except for the, like, super famous ones, right?
Right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah, this guy has
just do things. Whatever you just do what you want to do within some limits.
This guy has main character disease, I think, or syndrome or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That's one of the reasons that I don't think I feel too bad for him. I have another thing from kind of early in the section, but it's not in Dorne. Are you done with Dorne?
Yeah, let's get out of Dorne.
This is a short one. But early we get to interact with Lord Tarly,
mm-hmm.
which is mm-hmm. who is Sam's father,
yep.
actually, but we meet him through Brienne, I think. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, like, the intro to this is like kind of positive because he's like putting people to work.
Yeah.
He's getting things back and organized.
He's getting the economy
going. And
then
we actually like meet him and it's like, God, this dude sucks. This dude sucks so bad. It's like if you took Tywin and, like, I don't know, made him like slightly more of an asshole, that's Lord Tarly, I think. It seems like to me.
Yeah, it feels like Tywin was self-assured in a way that he didn't need to like emphasize to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tarly feels like he has to show everyone how important he is all the time. And
right.
And yeah, he does seem effective in what he's trying to do. Like, he's getting the town up and running and, like, kind of cleaning up the streets. But I kind of hate that he is, you know?
I know. I
kind of wish he wasn't effective. Because he seems like a bad dude. And, I mean, maybe we're poisoned against him because of everything we've heard from Sam. But even the scene with the, like, justice, I should say, that he's giving out.
Yeah.
Not a great look, guy.
No. No, not at all. Just get someone else to do it. If you're like too busy, to like think things through, just like get a subordinate, just delegate the justice stuff.
Yeah, but
right?
Corruption, Luke. What about corruption?
He's like moving through these things. He's like, "All right, in that case, seven fingers. Next, all right, take his arm. I don't want to hear anything."
I've got 10 seconds to hear and decide this case. I've got to maim 10,000 people today, okay? We've got to get through these. I'm just going to start listing body parts, okay? Here we go. Ear, nose, hand, foot, leg. Elbow.
It's bad.
Just the elbow.
It's bad.
Figure it out.
I don't know. I don't love Tarly. I don't have that much more to say about him.
Yeah.
I have another one that's somewhat similar, and I don't want to belabor this point because we've said it so many times, but Cersei is so frustrating.
Yeah, Cersei.
Just like over and over again. Every decision she makes is just like, God, stop it.
I mean,
she's packing the courts with her with yes men. Clearly bad.
I mean, it's excellent in that it's building up for a spectacular downfall, right? Because she is just surrounding herself with incompetent sycophants, and it is only a matter of time.
One of the guys can't talk.
Correct. And she's like, oh, I know how we'll pay for these fancy boats. Hold on. You want to build new cruise ships? How are we going to pay for those? Oh, yeah, we just won't pay our loan back. That's never gone poorly for anyone.
Let's just default on our debt.
Let's just
to build a few
fuck
ships
up our credit.
Because this new hot dude that I just named wants some more ships.
And he wants them pretty.
He's pretty handsome.
He's handsome. The ships look great. I don't think these bank people know anything. I think we can fool them. You idiot. The other thing which is crazy, so her plan, Qyburn is like, hey, you know they elected Jon Snow to be the Lord Commander up at the Wall, right? And Cersei's like, oh, those fucking idiots. And Qyburn's like, well, what if we sent a bunch of people up there to do a coup? And Cersei's like, you fucking genius. Let's do it. Her plan, she goes to like this Kettleback kid and she's like, hey, I need you to seduce and sleep with the queen. The queen who is wed to my son, the king.
Right.
And in her head, she's like, this is the perfect plan. There's little like Death Note music as she's like outlining her main strategy. She's like, he's gonna sleep with the queen, and then she's gonna get kicked out, and then I'm gonna pardon him but say that he has to go to the wall, and then he's gonna take a contingent of people up to the wall after he gets caught for sleeping with the queen, and they're gonna overthrow Jon Snow as the Lord Commander of the Night Watch. It's perfect. It's a brilliant plan. I can't no one could have thought of a plan this good but me. I'm such a genius. And it's like, this plan is so dumb. How do you think that this is going to even happen? How do you think the first step of this is going to happen? Sorry, Cersei, not everyone is as horny as you, okay?
Also, like, she famously, Margaery is extremely, like, politically savvy.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think she's just gonna like hook up with one of the king's guards immediately after being newly married to the king,
right? And just like one of them who's kind of mid, one of them who's like,
yeah, super mid.
I don't know, he doesn't sound that great. He's just available. And it's like, sorry, Cersei, your big plan is to make a boy available to Margaery, and she's gonna be like, oh yeah, I should sleep with this boy. What are you thinking? This is a bad plan.
Also, the guy Kettleback is like, I didn't really want to be on the wall though. And she's like, yeah, but eventually yada yada yada, and you'll come back and we can be together. And he's like, done. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's, oh God, it's just such a bad plan. It is just such a horrible plan, especially because it's creating complications that don't need to be there. Like, you don't need to have, you can send people to the wall. They are begging you to send anybody to the wall. Send whoever you want. You don't need like a, you don't need to do this to send somebody to the wall. To do it now.
Yeah, but Yeah, but Dan, two stones, right? It's Marjorie out. It's elegant, if you think about it that way.
Is part of the reason Cersei chose this kid is because she's like slept with him before?
Yeah.
So I feel like she kind of has this list where she's just like, if we've had sex, they're loyal to me. They'll do whatever I want them to.
I think so.
Oh, Cersei. Oh, no.
It's not great.
I mean,
go ahead.
The bigger they are, right? The collapse is going to be amazing, right?
That's right. And Littlefinger kind of does a little... obviously, he can't be talking about this plan, but he says something in his section where he's like essentially implying that Cersei doesn't account for the free will of other people.
Correct.
In her plans.
Yeah.
And it's like perfectly detailed in this particular plan.
Yeah. Totally.
So we'll see about Kettlebeck's moves. Maybe he's got some good
maybe
ones.
Yeah, maybe he's stunting.
It could be. Okay. I do want to actually talk about a scene in the Vale.
Yeah, let's go.
We can talk more about the larger scene, but I want to talk about a smaller one,
mm-hmm.
which is when the lords that are kind of like anti-Littlefinger come up.
Yeah.
And they talk to Sansa, who is pretending to be Littlefinger's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk to her in the creepiest freaking way of all time.
Like immediately upon meeting her. Yeah.
Immediately. They're like, oh, you're 13? You're probably going to be having sex soon. Very good.
Maybe it'll be with me. Have you thought of that? Have you considered that?
And like, I know that the writing of this like type of book is meant to be kind of like indicative of the, I don't know, like, what's the like injustices and that kind of thing of like prior eras. But I just refuse to believe that people ever talked like this. I'm refusing to.
I don't, Luke. Here's what I'll say. I have heard things from my friends who are women in the year 2024 that I would have never believed a person would have said to any person.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've heard things from my friends who are women that I've been like, somebody with their real human mouth said that to you in a public place that you didn't know. Not like it would be better, but just like some person came up, some man came up and said what to you? And you had to just be like, oh, please don't, or no.
Yes.
So
I
don't know, Luke. I think this shit could definitely be how it was and might still be.
I want to clarify that I am consciously aware.
Okay.
Or I am intellectually aware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the better word for this case, but like I just can't imagine it. Maybe that's what it is.
Which just speaks to our privilege, Luke. I mean,
totally.
So, I agree with you. It's insane. Dudes get up there and I'm like, no one's saying anything but the woman who's there. And she's like, God, you guys fucking suck. Come on, let's go with our meeting.
Hey, that was pretty weird. But let's move on.
Yeah, that was it was rough. It also, I think it's really, man, we've already talked about this. I think George writes great books. I think this shows how alone Sansa is.
Mm.
Sansa is so alone. Like,
yes.
Everybody who comes up, like, immediately they're just like, are you a virgin still? Not for long. And she's like, I am in danger all the time. And the only thing you want to say to me, you know me too. They could have some play here where they're like, oh, I know you're Sansa Stark, we should help you, but instead they're like, how's that virginity coming?
Well, they don't know that she's Sansa Stark though.
Two of them know her.
Yeah, but they don't recognize her.
Right, but my point is like, they are, the first thing they say and the only thing they care about is like, you're a virgin. Oh, rather than looking at who this person is and being like, wait a minute, I do know you. Instead one of them has one line at the beginning where they're like, do I know you? Whatever, doesn't matter. You're virgin. So, that's fun. And I just like,
yeah,
it shows how alone Sansa is, that like people do not see her at all. She has like no one to help her.
Yeah, this is a good point. Yes.
And that was just crushing to me. That scene where they came up and just did not see Sansa at all. As Arya has been training to like say she is no one, Sansa in a way has become no one. Sansa has become like a background wench in this story. Right. And it's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing that I noted in the Vale real quick, Maester Coleman, I think, needs to lose his license.
Is it because he keeps leeching?
No.
Or bleeding or whatever they call it?
It's not because of that. It's because Littlefinger's like, hey, Lord Robert likes sweets, right? And Maester Coleman's like, yeah, what about it? And Littlefinger's like, have you thought of giving him sweet dream powder or whatever the fuck? Which just sounds to me like it's just like heroin or some like narcotic. And Maester Coleman's right. like, oh, I had never considered this. Yes, perhaps that would be good for Lord Robert. I'll do it right away. Now, there's two ways you can interpret this scene, and both of them should result in a loss of licensure. First, Maester Coleman legitimately had never considered this as a treatment option, and Littlefinger, who's not trained, was suggesting it. Was just like, hey, I read on the internet the other day that you should use this. And the Maester's like, oh, that's a great idea. I will try that. Which, like, you got to know more than that. You got to know more than Littlefinger when you're treating patients. But
it's true.
Second theory. second option is that he's just, like, going along with what Littlefinger wants because Littlefinger said it. And in that case, that's not good for your patient, bud.
Right. And a little bit later during their meeting, when they're kind of having this little negotiation, one of the, I forget which one of the people says, like, also, the Maester down there is way better. And you know what? It sounds true. It sounds right.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and Coleman was recently replaced, wasn't he? Like, he's new.
I probably, honestly, I this isn't something that I've kept up with, but probably.
Yeah, I think he has been, like, sort of recent to the Vale.
Yeah.
But I just, come on, we're not listening to Dr. Littlefinger over here. You gotta say no.
Get it.
I don't care if it was on Joe Rogan, okay? You're not giving him that. That's right, we're coming for Joe now.
Man, finally. Oh, man. Okay, so what do we think about Littlefinger here, actually?
I mean, we have to start off by saying he's gross, right? Like, dude's gross.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's a given.
What I'm curious about, if we're imagining this Game of Thrones, right, that Littlefinger keeps talking about, what do you put the odds that Littlefinger ends up on the Iron Throne at the end?
Pretty low.
Give me a percentage.
In my opinion.
Out of 100. What are the odds on this? 1 in 100?
Like
10 in 100?
Yeah.
You're saying 1 in 100?
Definitely not 10. I'm going to go 1 just because, like, nobody really, like, I don't know. He doesn't actually have a castle. Nobody really likes him personally. Or, like, and I think you need it.
You're saying he needs charisma to be able to hold the Iron Throne. And I mean, all
yes.
evidence points to yes
so
far, because the Mad King, negative charisma score. King Robert, very high charisma score.
Pretty good charisma.
Joffrey,
but I also
very
think
low
that
charisma.
You need charisma to like win the throne, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is what I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we kind of see it in the Kingsmoot.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Where it's like, I realize that it doesn't work the same way, but like on some level, you do need people to be like, he's got king vibes.
That's true. You're never going to get somebody named Littlefinger as like, oh, we should make that guy king.
Right. Someone named Littlefinger can inherit a kingdom,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
but they can't take one. That's my analysis.
Okay, I agree with you here, and I think initially I had Littlefinger's odds much higher, but I agree with your analysis here. The reason I had his odds much higher, dude's playing chess at a different level. Dude is seeing how things are moving in ways that the people who are in positions of power don't seem to understand. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes a long way, at least as a person who will never inherit a castle and a kingdom. Like, I don't know. I think that's got to count for something, right?
I agree with you. And I think actually the odds of Littlefinger like putting someone on the throne and kind of being a behind the scenes
like a kingmaker
is high.
Okay. What would you put those odds at, that his chosen candidate becomes king or queen?
I'm gonna say I'm pretty high, honestly.
Okay,
like 50s maybe.
Yeah, I mean, thinking of all the players in this game right now, he seems in the top like two or three of people who are like making moves, like, and
yeah,
being
especially now that Tywin is out of it.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Yeah,
it's a long way to go for a little upstart guy.
It's true, but he's got plans. Plans and plans. Okay, the last place that I have to take us to is with Brienne.
Okay.
And she follows this guy through the marsh and everything. And they get to this like crumbling castle, and it's a bad situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The whole thing is pretty rough, but I love a mysterious castle.
Oh, yeah, dude. Right. Like the whole time, I'm thinking, like, you need to not continue this journey. Like, this is not the way to go. This is bad. Danger. Right. This is danger.
Right.
But also, keep going. Please keep going.
But like the guy's telling some cool stories, kind of.
It's spooky. This is so spooky. Like,
actually, okay. One of the things that George does really well,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
is like showing the like how many places are in Westeros or the world in general.
Totally.
And what I mean by that is that like there's so many just like out of the way castles that have their own like thousands of years of history, and like you just get a little glimpse of them.
Yeah.
And you just it just feels like this world is just like so, I don't know. I don't know if I have the right words for it beyond that, but it does give me this feeling of just like everything in this is so I don't know, mysterious.
It's like deep.
And
like there's so much
going
there.
On.
Yeah. No, totally. Like the water, there's a lot under the waters of Westeros that we don't see. Like, this whole like Crackclaw area, totally new. I don't think we've ever heard. If we've heard about it, it's been like in passing. We get this like history about it, and it's got its own like culture and tradition and like all. And this is George did this for like a slice, for like a just a little story. For Brienne to go off in this one little part of Westeros. And George was like, also this little region, kind of interesting. Let me tell you about it. And just like builds this like amazing little world, this like insular little part of Westeros in like a chapter. Incredible. Incredible.
Incredible. Big, big Old Bay seasoning vibes.
That's funny because I was thinking like, Appalachia, like the hollers in like West Virginia and Eastern Kentucky, Appalachia, with the sort of culture of these people.
Okay. Maybe the name crab is throwing me off.
Yeah, you might be the crab.
It's kind of boggy though, and it was on the coast.
No, you're right. You're right. I think I'm just more familiar with Eastern Kentucky.
Sure. It's fair. Anyway, it's cool.
Yeah, I also, so you read a plot synopsis, you read like a, not of the book, but like you read a summary of the previous book before this one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And we've read this before. I remember a fair amount of like the other chapters, the other like characters from this book. I don't remember anything about Brienne's story as we're reading this right now. So it feels like I'm reading it for the first time, which is very fun. Like I legitimately have no idea what's going on with Brienne and like where she goes or anything like that. This is just a Dan's having fun reading Brienne's story.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Brienne does have a very interesting story and like outlook because of her unique, I don't know.
Yeah.
Her own uniqueness, I guess.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Can we leave Brienne's story?
Yeah.
Let's go to the Iron Isles. Mm-hmm. So we've heard a little bit about Crow Eyes' deal. He sounds not great. Granted, none of these people are really nice. None of them are good.
No.
These are Viking raiders, okay? They're trying to rape and pillage. They're not really good people. Like, their whole culture is kind of busted. Crow Eyes got some riz, though. You have to give the man credit. When he gets up there, his speech during the King's Moot, first off, he knows exactly what Dampere is going to say to criticize him, that he's godless. And he has this speech prepared for it that is fire. He's up there like, actually, I'm the most religious of all of you, because when men see my sails, they pray. And I'm just like, oh, Crow Eye. Fuck, that's a good line. So good.
Right.
And it's just like, he just hits it perfectly. He knocks it out of the fucking park, and incredible. True. Like, if I'm there, I'm getting swept up in it. If I'm there, I'm like, I get that he's a bad guy. I get that. We're all pretty shitty. We've all done some pretty shitty things, to be fair. And, I mean, you heard him. He's a badass.
Right. Okay, 100% agree with you. One thing, I want to criticize Dampere a little bit.
Okay.
Which also, terrible name.
Truly.
At least give me, like, wet hair.
Damn, that's bad. Anyway.
Or pronounce it damn fair, where the PH make the
oh sound. Okay,
because that's okay. Anyway,
I mean, I'll say better than soggy bottom. Okay.
Okay, so we get his monologue throughout the King's Moot, right? And there's a little bit of gamesmanship in like the order that people talk,
right?
To the point where it's like Victarion waits for a long time, which Dampere says is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aisha comes in and talks, and they're kind of going back and forth. And then it's just like, and they're like almost evenly going back and forth. And then Euron comes in and like makes the deciding thing at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's too much of an advantage to go last.
Well, he's not going last necessarily, right?
I mean, I guess someone at the end could come in.
Can you imagine somebody coming in after him like, hey, okay, guys, I know I don't have a cool horn or like all that treasure. But what I can offer you is a 5-year plan for economic prosperity of the Isles. I've brought a PowerPoint. yeah, so I think he's kind of the reason he is last is because it's the same reason why. Like, when you're looking for your keys, they're always in the last place you look.
I mean, I see what you mean. I still think you have a rebuttal period.
Okay. Maybe.
Okay, actually, is the structure just like whoever has the... Is it like when I go to a baseball game and they're like, all right, we're going to do section 107 against section 112...
Yeah.
Whoever's loudest gets gift cards.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, but like if I'm yelling for Victarion, I don't know who's coming next.
Yeah. But you can look around. You can be like, he does seem good. I think they can change their vote too, right?
When? I don't know.
I think at any point. I think they can just be like, I'm not going to shout for him anymore. I'm shouting for Crow Eye because that speech was amazing. I think it's that just, they can just
it's
yell.
It's poorly structured, I think. It's just poorly structured.
Yeah, but it's perfect for these people, right?
Also, is there a decibel counter?
They just they look at the ripples in a glass of water. This is a very damp hair thing to do, you know. He's just looking at the ripples and he's like, ah, those ripples are bigger.
Clearly bigger. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I do think they should have, well, yeah, I don't think they could have done it any other way, though. Like, I don't think damp hair could have structured it in a way that made it different. Because imagine Crow Eye goes, like, before Victarion. There's no way Victarion is going to be able to beat that, right? Like, he's got a horn that he claims can control dragons, and it, like, burns. It's got, like, it's clearly magic. It, like, burned out a dude's chest.
Right.
Like, how are you competing with that? Also, he brought so much treasure, way more than anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, as soon as he goes, I think it's over. I think it's done regardless. So I don't think you could have waited and been like, no, I should let him go first, because then he's going to go and you're going to be like, well, fuck.
Okay, sure. Maybe you're right and the order doesn't matter quite as much. I do hope that after, just off screen, they had a little vote that I didn't see.
Mm. What I do think is absurd is they have a whole night where they're like trying to gauge support for who's going to support who. It sounds like that doesn't really matter when they get to the King's Moot. They're all trying to like win people over with stuff, right? You need to be doing some recon as to A, how much gold everyone is bringing, because like everyone's not bringing their whole surplus of gold, right? Like people are choosing an amount to bring. So like figure out how much everyone else is bringing so you can be just like a little bit more than that, or like at least on par. That's step one. Do some recon about that. Second off, figure out what people are going to be bringing to the table, or like what their sort of platforms are going to be. Because if you know Crow Eye has a magic horn and is going to be talking about ruling all of Westeros and taming the dragons or whatever the fuck, you can set that up to be absurd. You can be like, hey, he's a scoundrel and he plays pranks on people all the time. He's a trickster. Don't trust him. Like, you can poison the well a little bit in your speech, where maybe you sow some doubt instead of everyone being like, no, he's legit. He's got a big glowing horn. I think he's real.
Right. I mean, part of this is just, I think, Victarion being kind of a dummy.
This is fair. Yeah. But Aisha feels smarter than that, though. And I don't know, maybe I'm giving her too much credit.
I think that you might be giving her too much credit, because like for one thing, like if you're going to win a popularity contest in which like the measure of who wins is hype, you're not going to win a hype contest based on, hey guys, we should like be peaceful.
Hey, let's diversify our investments.
I completely recognize that you think that's the right choice, and maybe even a majority of people, if they thought about it, thinks that's the right choice. It's not going to win a hype contest.
Yeah, you're right. She's young. She's still learning the ways. Mm. But you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
She talks good trash, though.
She talks excellent trash, which I think to a certain extent is because she's been talked to a lot in similar ways. Right. Like, I think in a way, it's an alternative to Sansa's story, where Sansa is suddenly surprised at people talking to her in this way. Kind of like, it's just she's not really been in a position to like respond to it. Aisha has had countless men say like almost the same things to her for like her whole life, so she has had time to really refine her craft of like really digging it back at him, you know. And I think she just does such a like fantastic job of like turning it back on men who are like super misogynistic towards her.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Just maybe don't bring pebbles. Maybe actually bring some gold. especially considering who you're talking to. Like, you're not talking to the wives and the children. You're talking to the men who go to war. Like,
yeah, I think she got a little too clever. I think that's what it was.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
It's like, everyone here are some big dumb boys.
They want to go fight and get
gold.
We
got to talk to the big dumb boys with big dumb boy words.
It's true. You're right, Luke. You're right.
But I am hyped to see what Euron gets up to. You know what?
Me too.
Give me some.
Let's give him a chance.
Give me some raids. Love a raid by a very terrifying guy whose ship is called Silence. Terrifying name for a ship.
Oh, everything about Crow Eye is bad. The things are about to take a bad turn.
What do they mean by his smiling eye, by the way?
It's just always got a little winkle in it.
But is the other eye a frowny eye?
Something.
What do you mean?
There's something about that other eye, right?
Something's going on.
Because he is like choosing to wear an eye patch. It's not.
Right.
He's hiding something under there and he points to it. Oh, is it a crow eye? Does he actually have a crow eye? Because that would be crazy.
That'd be cool.
Would be very cool. It'd be very little though. It'd look kind of funny, I think. Anyway. Speaking of a big hype train for some dumb guys, we'll be back next week and we'll be bringing along some hot takes.
And we're going to be the big dumb nerds.